Welcome to Opening Presents, the podcast about creative self-realization. My name is Aaron Robinson. Thank you so much for joining me. In today's episode, I sit down with Bernadette Little. She's an art director, designer, and muralist based in Portland, Oregon. In this conversation, we discuss Bernie's journey into the world of design and the lessons she's learned across multiple disciplines that directly influence her creative leadership and self-expression. If you enjoy this episode, make sure to share it with a friend. Now, without further ado, welcome to Opening Presents. We go. We live. Welcome to Opening Presents. My name is Aaron Robinson, and I am joined by Bernadette Little. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for being over here to sit down. We haven't chatted in a while.
I know. It's been a minute.
Yeah. Do you remember when we met?
Ooh, I don't remember. I remember we got coffee. I don't remember exactly.
That was the first time where we met.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Cova Coffee off of Southwest Grand.
Yeah.
I think you were wearing that same head wrap.
I think I was. This is my go-to.
Yeah, that's definitely the one. But yeah, so how long have you been in Portland for?
I've been here on and off since like 2015, but like living here full-time 2018, I would say.
2018, and where are you originally from?
I'm from Baltimore.
Baltimore? B-more. What was growing up in Baltimore like?
I thought it was dope. It was interesting because I feel like I kind of grew up between both sides of Baltimore because I grew up in an area called Park Heights, which is kind of like literally like the area the Wire is based off of is like down the street. But I went to school in an area called Roland Park, which is a very like affluent white area. So I kind of grew up in the hood and like with private schools around. So it was an interesting experience. And I went to an art school for high school. So it was kind of like I grew up in these distinct little pockets of Baltimore, which I think is dope. It was definitely an interesting experience.
Yeah. So do you feel like that experience was super unique within Baltimore to be able to see both sides of it?
I think so. Because like a lot of metropolitan cities, Baltimore is very like racially divided. I mean, I haven't been back in years, but I'm assuming it's pretty similar to the way it was. I heard actually Park Heights was getting kind of gentrified, but I haven't been back myself. But I think it is kind of unique because my grandparents actually bought the house my parents raised me in before it kind of turned into like a little bit of a more like kind of hood, kind of like little rougher area. But they wanted to make sure I didn't go to school in that area. And I don't think that was a privilege that was afforded to everyone who grew up there. So I'm thankful to be able to have seen both worlds and to kind of like get that. I do think it was a unique experience to have it. So I'm appreciative of it.
Yeah, you're like one of one.
Well, one of three with me and my siblings.
Okay, one of three. So what was growing up like with art? Because you said you went to a high school, like an art high school. So going in, did you already like identify the mediums that you gravitated towards, or was it kind of like, yo, like this is just what this school did, and then you kind of figured it out once you got there?
So you had to kind of pick a major. That would be like the visual arts, dance, they had stage crew, acting, and like band, orchestra, any type of like instrument you wanted to play, basically. So they kind of solid you off in that way, but within those, you could kind of, at least for the visual arts, like you were kind of exposed to everything. So I had like painting classes, printmaking classes, sculpture classes. So they kind of let you experiment and figure out what you wanted to do. And then your senior year, you kind of got to shape your like experience.
Mm-hmm. So what was your experience painting.
Shaping? Sorry.
I'm like, that was a like easy lead in question.
Sorry.
No, it was perfect. You're natural.
Yeah. So my senior year, yeah, I did a lot of oil painting and I was very heavily influenced by, like, I think I'm going to mispronounce his name, but Kehinde Wiley.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not to that scale. He does those like massive paintings. Yeah. But I like to experiment with like old master's paintings, but changing the subject matter based on the folks I saw around me. So Black people, people of different races, people of different, you know, just ways of life, but interject it into those like Renaissance.
I hate oil painting. How do you do it? How do you do it?
Well, I oil painted very much like I was drawing. So I used it very thin and in like a lot of layers. I don't really oil paint anymore just because I don't have the space or the materials. Like I breathe in fumes. Or the patience. Yeah. I mean, yeah, or the patience. So now I usually work in acrylics, or I've been doing the mural stuff that you saw around. But yeah, no, I had more time and patience in high school, I guess.
Yeah. So what was, actually, before we talk about like going like high school and stuff, like what was like, you said you had three siblings, like mm-hmm. what's your relationship to your siblings and kind of like home life for Bernadette?
Yeah. So I have two siblings, mm-hmm. Three in total. I have a little brother who is 18 months younger than me, so very close in age. And then I have a little sister who's 9 years younger than me. So mm-hmm. she's like just beginning college, which is wild. And in terms of my little sister, I feel like we're, because of the age difference, we're like just forming that close bond.
Yeah.
Because when she was younger, I was off doing my own thing, or I very quickly went to college and she was still at home. So that's been fun over this past like 2 years, especially mm-hmm. really trying to like reach out and make that connection.
Yeah.
Me and my brother are close. We're not as close, I think, but we still try to keep in contact, still try to talk a lot. But yeah, no, my relationship with my siblings is pretty good, I would say. Trying to foster it and be more active about fostering it more.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of like a thing, at least for me, that is happening as I'm getting older. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to put more attention into those relationships.
Yeah, that's how I feel like me and my brother's relationship. It's yeah. like, since there's been like a lot of like death in the family and stuff, and just realizing it's like, yo, like we're all we got.
For real.
And then just like seeing the beauty unfold within our siblings, and mm-hmm. it's just like, oh, you have like mom's traits, or you yeah. like you act like grandma, or like and just like, I don't know, just like the full acceptance, like there's no like competition anymore, and there's none of the pettiness mm-hmm. involved. Like we still like sometimes get on each other's nerves, like when my brother tried to get me to get that crypto and then it just plummeted and I'm like, but we had to like problem solve like after it, and where it's right. like I know he loves me, like besides like emotional investing and stuff like yeah, that. Yeah. Like I felt a certain type of way about it, but we were able to kind of just like work through it and just be like, all right, like I already know you love me. Like that type of thing, where in the past there would have been like full on, like I'm not talking to you and I'm like mad. So just seeing like the maturation of like siblings and whatnot, which is why I wanted to kind of touch on that. 'Cause everybody has their own relationship. It's like, the peaks and the valleys of of having siblings, but then when you get to a place of just like, oh, I want to put time and energy into mm-hmm. this, because like there's going to be a point where parents are not around anymore, grandparents are not around, and it's like I just have you brother and sister, so.
No, I feel you, and that maturation is like definitely what I'm experiencing, especially like you were saying with like just dealing with different family complications. And it's like, okay, so how are we actually going to sit down and talk about this, mm-hmm. like real stuff as siblings, when we kind of haven't needed to confront any of this before?
Ever.
So,
it all just comes like all at once. And you're exactly. like, wait, nobody prepared me for
it's
this.
It's like, wait, we're adults and we had to deal with this.
Yes, exactly. Now it comes really quick, but you got to figure it out. There's no one, like nobody else to figure it out. So after high school, where did you go to college?
Yeah, I went to college in Detroit uh-huh. at a design school called College for Creative Studies. They're mostly known for like their automotive and design and stuff, with like GM being there.
Yeah, yep.
But I went for illustration and product design.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What made you gravitate towards that, towards like product design? Because mm-hmm. illustration is kind of baked into painting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I honestly wanted to do like pre-production for like movies and shit. Like I wanted to do like, okay, so what is this like sci-fi armor, how does it work, or mm-hmm. like what is this like background, or like if we're making this new animal, like how does it anatomically actually work?
Wow.
So I was like, let me combine the fantasy with the realistic and see where that gets me.
That, I'm sure your portfolio is like insane. Like the beginning, at least, is just like the exploration part of like the design process. So when did you kind of like dive into like product? Like when is like the idea of like, oh, like I want to start making things that people can actually like use, enter?
Yeah. I would say I started, honestly, I tried to start like the latter half of my freshman year, but they wouldn't let me. So I really got into like the product classes as a minor sophomore year.
Did you have like brands that you were like trying to go for, or was it just like, let's make bags and shoes?
Yeah, I was basically just like, let me just try to make some cool stuff. Like, mm-hmm. What does this new car dashboard look like if you make it like a holistic sci-fi experience, or like, can I make this weird light for scuba divers, or this new bike sharing service, or whatever problem like I was trying to solve, I kind of just diverged to whatever product I thought might solve it. Mm-hmm. So that kind of led me in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah. What were kind of like the earliest explorations of like fully executing something? Because I think nowadays, and even myself growing up as an artist, like having an idea is like, everybody has ideas and you can share them, you can talk about them, but like the act of actually like concepting it, like sketching it out, and then following through all the way to completion is, I think, one of the learning experiences that not a lot of people actually get to, because that's why not a lot of people follow their dreams and stuff, because it's like they don't have that experience of, oh, this can actually be done. And there's like this doubt that we carry with us. So what are some of like the earliest experiences? It could be in college or it could be before that, of like being like, oh shit, like I can bring something from an idea to real life and hold it in my hand.
Yeah, I think, I mean, college, specifically the product design courses, I think really nailed that home, because it was so much like you have to have the idea and present it in some form and have some type of working capability. You know, we weren't trying to build like entire cars, but like, I don't know, maybe you build a model or something like that. So that really drove that home in terms of also presenting that idea. But I think the first experience with that was probably high school. Like, honestly, the first story that came to mind is one of my best friends, who I'm still friends with today. His name is Albert. Him and a couple of our other friends, Alex and Adriana, had the idea to build this giant wire ram sculpture, like huge. And we were in a welding class and we kind of didn't know how we were going to get it done. We never built anything this big, but we kind of like advocated for the idea with the teacher. We went and we covered it in these like water like reeds. Mm-hmm. And like Albert and Alex went out and like just went on the side of the highway and just like grabbed a bunch like one night. And so I think that was like, and we pulled it together and had like a photo shoot and everything. And I think that was one of the first times like, not only me as like an artist, but like as a team of folks, I was like, okay, like I get how this process works and I understand how fulfilling it is to make something you didn't think you could make by yourself with some other people and some other people you really vibe with. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like you work better on teams or solo?
I feel like the work is better when I'm on a team.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I get a lot of energy from other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love maybe like initiating a little bit on my own and like, okay, so what is it I'm trying to communicate? Let me get that straight. But then that next step of getting other people's ideas, or like, hey, maybe you can do this differently, or let's make it bigger, or like, let's change this color. Like I get a lot of like energy and liveliness from that. And mm-hmm. I think that always shows through at the end product.
Yeah, most definitely. I feel the same way. It's mm-hmm. like there's things that I can't do.
Exactly.
And like recognizing that early on, because in the past, like and even till this day, like there are instances where I feel like I have to do absolutely everything,
mm-hmm.
like whether that's producing this podcast or like working on some other project, it's like I'm initiating a lot of it. But I'm stepping into spaces where I'm not asked to do everything. Like I'm mm-hmm. just asked to take photos, or I'm just asked to like source like people to get on the team or something like that, and to split things up, but then also to be able to like use the end result like as the model, like everyone contributed to this thing. Like without, if one person was missing from this team, this end product would not look like it does right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying?
No, 100%.
Like every single thing that happened had to go how it went for you to arrive here. Even if somebody did a little bit worse or a little bit better,
mm-hmm.
the end result would be shifted,
mm-hmm.
at least energetically, because like you're one hand on, one hand off.
And I think there's such a beauty in that. Like, I think not only the work itself at the end of the day is beautiful when stuff like that happens, but just that like process to get there, like everything you were saying, it's like, mm-hmm. There's such people are so in sync when they create like that. And mm-hmm. I think there's like a real beauty to that, that I find like you don't get like often just day to day, you know?
No, not at all. I'm still, I think I know that like my like dream team is here, and it's just like, all right, like when are we all going to be able to like come together and like create something? Cause it's like, I can see and envision like the type of energy that I want to have around for like when we're creating something, and it was, what is the thing that we're creating, and creating like having like a worthwhile goal where it's mm-hmm. like, yeah, we're doing something that scares the hell out of all of us, but we know that we can get it done together. And that's something that I think it just makes life fun when you're just like, when you have 1,000%. Projects, when it's like, okay, out of thin air, we're just going to make something beautiful and for other people to experience, and hopefully like shift perspectives in a certain sense, whether that's a marketing thing or a product thing,
mm-hmm.
the ability to like change somebody's opinion or their belief in themselves.
Yeah.
Like that's like the highest like expression that there ever is. Yeah. So how do you feel like, I want to say like, how do you feel like your intentions or how your intentions are executed within like your working style,
mm-hmm.
like whether that's like in illustration or just being a person on a team, like working on a project, like how do you feel like you're best served within a team setting?
Yeah. I think in terms of like my intentions coming through in the work, I studied art direction and product design and somehow found my way into art direction.
mm-hmm.
And I think there's no other position that epitomizes like collaboration on that level than art direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because your whole role is to, at least the way I approach it, is to have an idea and help guide your team towards that idea. And I think for me as an art director, that idea gets 10 times better once I can hear the opinions and ideas of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, so we have this distinct goal. What do y'all think? Like, do we need to tear it apart? Do we need to make it bigger? Do we need to make it smaller? And like that whole process is like, actually, this is like a realization I'm just having now, but I kind of made that process my job, or fell into making that process my job, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think the art direction aspect of it and the teamwork aspect of it is kind of how that intention comes through.
Yeah.
And I try to be an art director that isn't like a dictator or dogmatic. I very much want folks to like pull things apart. Let's put this piece here. Let's put this piece there. Like, I think like everything we're saying, that energy is something beautiful, and I think we need to like act on it.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I feel the same exact way. Like just that flow state of problem solving, but not being tied to a specific location, and mm-hmm. just being able to move and go with the flow. So just for our listeners, like what are your like primary executions, like photography, videography, like illustration, product, like
mm-hmm.
would you say like most of your art direction nowadays is?
Yeah, so art direction for work, we're primarily doing photo shoots, sometimes art directing outside illustrators, but primarily photo and a little bit of video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So in this like art direction role, and you said that like listening to other people's like opinions are a great thing,
mm-hmm.
how do you deal with like ego coming into the picture when it's like you know better, or you feel like you know better, and mm-hmm. kind of like negotiating whose ideas gets used, and like there's like the whole thing about like credit and all that kind of stuff that people mess around with. Like it's like an emotional thing too, because it's like
much.
I've been on projects where like I source like all that, like a lot of the actors, like a lot of the teams, a lot of the equipment, and I was told that I was going to be this like pretty high up role. And then when the videos come out, it's like, I just got knocked down like three steps. And I'm like, yo, like, you don't have a video if it wasn't for me.
No, facts.
But it's one of those things where it's just like, that has nothing to do with what I actually did.
Mm-hmm.
That's just somebody else's kind of internalized state of lack in wanting to demote and put somebody else on, put their friend on.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you experience that, like, in like your work setting, or are things like already kind of the hierarchy is already kind of like established, so you don't have to worry about that?
No, that's a great question, and something that does happen so rampantly, especially within like the professional art world. Like, there's so much competition. I think I'm in a unique position because I was on a previous team. I just changed jobs recently.
Mm-hmm.
And the previous team, we got a new director and I had a second thought about saying this, but it's fine. We got a new director and his leadership style was very much rooted in that way of thinking, like very ego driven. And this new team and this new opportunity that came along, because my manager also came from that previous team, we saw it as an opportunity because we were asked to build this team to make sure that that wasn't the precedent that was set.
Mm-hmm.
TBD, we're trying. The team is only like, I think 5 months old at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But within that, we've tried to take that learning and that just terrible feeling and try to set the foundation for something a little bit different. So I think a lot of that is just like acknowledging everybody in the room. Like, it's really easy actually for people to like avoid that. Like, they could have just put your name on there. It's mm-hmm. no skin off their back. Like,
yeah.
And I really wanted to reinforce to folks, like, it really doesn't take anything to put somebody on, like highlight them on your story or like just put their name out there. Or like, you know, if it comes for them, it does. If it doesn't, you know, at least you try. Like, what did that take out of your day for that 2 seconds? Like,
yeah, it almost like baffles me, like how much at least creatives or creators like are a source of inspiration, entertainment, knowledge,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of like we provide a lot. And like to the fact that like we were just having this conversation before, but like the fact that there's not a lot of reciprocation
mm-hmm.
when it's like you're either a producer or you're a consumer. Mm-hmm. Most producers are consumers as well, but it's like their time is split. Like making things when they're not consuming things. But then the other half is like primarily consuming things. And
yeah.
In that mode of consumption, it's like, how are you going to counterbalance that? And it's like, it's very low hanging fruit
mm-hmm.
just to be like, oh, Bernie's doing this cool thing. Mm-hmm. Like let's just repost it. It takes 2 seconds. I'm going to tag too with a couple, like a little bit of words. And that turns you into a producer or a creator in your own right.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to be just the consumption. So I've noticed that as well, but it doesn't take a lot of effort just to put somebody on. And
mm-mm.
I think it's like a responsibility to do that.
Cause
it's like, I think of how many people have positions that didn't earn that position, but then at the same time, didn't even think about bringing somebody else up
exactly.
or realizing like, yo, like I didn't earn this. Or
mm-hmm.
if you did, great, but you can still do right and bring somebody else on. It's like,
exactly.
I feel like that scarcity mindset of like, oh yeah, someone's going to take my thing. And it's like, no, have more confidence in yourself than to think that the person that you're going to bring on is going to take your job from you. Then you must really not be that good.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I'm like, if you're that concerned about it, are you putting in enough work to keep your job?
Yeah.
And also I agree with everything that you're saying. It really doesn't take that much to put somebody on. It takes literally 2 seconds to bring up somebody's name in the room. And if you're really that concerned about you losing your job, you're still the person who's already in the seat.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're just trying to maybe open a door for somebody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like somebody's going to come and snatch the chair from you. Like,
yeah, it takes work to replace you too.
Yeah,
they're not
yeah.
like most of the time they're not going to even want to do the work to replace you. They're like, they're doing an okay job, but it takes too much time to get them out and then put somebody else
mm-hmm.
there, so you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have like this saying, it's like, I only want people around me who can advocate for my genius in rooms that I'm not currently in. Like
uh-huh.
if like, mm-hmm. like y'all know what I do. I put enough shit out there that it's like, if you like have like a HR person next to you, like, yo, my friend Aaron, like does guided meditations. Like, I think he'd be great for our team.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's just like shit like that, where it's like, I don't know who's all watching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just put things out there and I don't I try to make it as easily like seen as possible and legible, and just be like, oh yeah, this is what I'm doing. But also like expressing like how other people can help. Cause in the past, like I keep things close to vest and just be like, oh, I'm not going to express my needs, whether that's in a professional sense or just like a personal sense. It's like, I need space. I need love. I need this. I need that. And I feel like whenever we speak up, like the person or situation, like didn't know what our needs were in the first place.
Yep.
And two, are more than happy to accommodate us whenever we're asking. So if you're out there, ask for that raise.
Do it.
Ask for that raise right now. Do it. So you said you were doing murals as well, right? Yeah. So can you talk about like your love? I'm assuming you love
I do.
Love making murals. But yeah, what was the first mural you've done, and kind of what your journey has been working at scale?
Yeah, I mean, and kind of looping it back to what we were just talking about, somebody just threw my name out in the room. Salome, she had an opportunity talking with Pioneer Place and getting a bunch of panels when it was boarded up. And she just put the word out. She was like, hey, we got some funds to get supplies. We might not be able to compensate you that much, but here's a space and here's an opportunity. And so that's just how I got started. And from going down there, just met with like the mural community here. And they kind of really helped foster and teach me and really helped grow my love for this mural work. And yeah, no, I do love it. It's not only because of like the end product of just making something that big, like that's just cool, but also the entire process of mural painting, especially like the last few murals I've done have been collaborative. So that also just feeds that itch for me. But it's kind of like a performance, right? When you're out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And you like get to talk to different folks, or people will stop and say hello. And like, I was painting it's like an after school program called ASK. It's Airway Science for Kids on Mississippi. And it was a collaborative mural with a woman named Molly Mendoza and Elizabeth Heidel. And I was just out there one day by myself. It was Halloween. It was last Halloween. And I'm just painting, and my partner's out there just helping me and like taking photos and stuff. And she taps me on the shoulder. And like for the last like 10, 15 minutes I was painting, there's just like this little black girl who just sat and was watching me.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, so that's a moment. That's like, just to even like see another black woman artist like out here painting, like just, and I was painting like this giant portrait of these like black and brown kids. So I'm like, that is also become such an important part of it for me, and like just being out there and being seen by folks. So it's like the whole, sorry, I kind of went on like,
no, like
a tangent, but
no, you're in the flow.
But the whole process of the mural painting is something I've really grown to appreciate. And I wasn't expecting that. So yeah, no, it's awesome. And I feel like very blessed to be able to take up that space.
Yeah. Murals are amazing. I haven't done one since college, but like,
and exhausting. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, totally. And just like, just to see it like come together though, because it's like, it can go wrong really quickly easily. And it's just depending on the surface that you're on,
the weather. Yeah, oh my God.
A million different things. So I commend anyone who's out there working at scale.
Like, you should do another one. Stuff would be dope that big.
Yeah, I think it's just like the line work type of thing. I'd have to like change the style a little bit just to kind of accommodate like the details or whatnot.
No, yeah. I feel you.
Yeah, shout out to Salome too, because like I saw the new mural she did at Adidas.
Yeah,
campus,
and
I was like,
yeah.
Her work is freaking insane. Like,
yeah,
it's
amazing.
I'm trying to get her on the podcast too, so maybe she'll listen to this.
Do it.
Awesome. So from murals, illustration, art direction, where do you see your work like the next challenge for yourself? Because it seems like you're someone who's kind of projecting out into the future. Like, what's the next growth pattern for yourself, or the spot maybe there's tension right now that you know that you have to like walk head up into?
Yeah, I mean, artistically, I would love to begin to be able to like foster a space for creatives. Not only be creating myself, but have the opportunity to pass on other opportunities to folks who haven't seen someone like you or I in the arts and don't know it's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Or people just that just need a space and who just need somebody to talk to, or like while they're painting, or somebody to encourage them. So I think the next step for me would be hopefully, like, I don't know if it's like a community center or like some type of artistic program or something like that, but I think it'd be great to create a space to help foster young folks and kind of teach them the lessons we've learned in this like crazy world. And then for my own personal artistic practice, just getting more back into painting for myself, honestly. Mm-hmm. I used to like be like a fiend in my sketchbook, just like every day, just like doing something. And I've kind of fallen off of that a little bit. And I think there's a part of me that needs that. It's kind of like a journal, kind of like a meditation practice. So I need to get back in that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I fall in and out of it. I just go through like phases though. Same, where just yeah. like, I've expressed that like painting is what I do when like my back's against the wall, and whether I'm like, oh, I didn't get this job or this person canceled a date on me, or I just feel like my worth isn't being shown in the world, and it's just like I'm being like counted out, and I gotta like prove myself and prove my worth. And when I'm feeling that type of way, I fight my way out of the corner through my art.
Yeah.
So then like a painting that's like 5 feet tall and like 4 feet wide, I'm like, yo, no one can do that. Like, I bet you can't do that. And it allows me to like kind of like build my confidence back up and just know that I'm worthy. And art definitely has like the power to kind of validate ourselves when the world only like gives props to like if you're like a banker or something.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, like what? So sitting at a fucking computer on Google Sheets making spreadsheets is more important than being outside painting a mural that's going to live in the community and affect the lives of so many people on a real like grassroots tangible level. But like your spreadsheet, like for this company, like it just improves the lives of like what, one person?
Yeah.
And it does not have soul in it.
Yep.
It's like, I don't know, the values, like I feel like there's just like this huge like mix up of what is like valuable.
No, I 100% agree. Like everything you said, in my opinion, is spot on. It's like, cause one is like fueling this capitalistic machine that we live in. And, you know, we've all been benefactors of it to some degree, but on the larger scale, it's been terrible for like our well-being as a human race. So no, I completely feel you. And that kind of reminded me of, I just finished my capstone for school, and I was interviewing these nonprofits, and I talked to a woman named Nelly Osha. Hopefully I'm not mispronouncing her name, but she runs Out of the Frame, which works with teens experiencing homelessness or houselessness, excuse me, and helps them make films. And I'll never forget this one thing she said. She's like, these films not only show them that they're worth it, but they show the community that they're worth it, and it helps them build themselves back up in their lives. So yeah, that just what you were saying about the arts and like showing who you are in a painting and like blasting it to the world, like you cannot not see this.
Mm-hmm.
Reminded me of that.
Yeah, it's like super important to just, I don't know, continue to come back, because it's like once you leave expression and just like kind of like wait for the world to tell you what to do, it's like it's gonna just funnel you into this system, like it's whether that's like school preparing us for schools that are preparing us for prison or whatever. It's just like it's literally just like follow these rules, like this is the authority. Oh no, you're wrong because the book says this, even though you don't have any natural inclination to learn these certain things.
Yep.
And the failures of the system are very apparent, which is why I'm kind of like low-key grateful of how the systems have all been shaken up.
Yes,
to kind of
1,000%.
To at least like allow everyone to question what we've been indoctrinated in over the last however many years. But like, with all the ills of social media, like the positive thing is like how much like enlightening like information mm-hmm. is coming out. Like we're like learning Black history on Instagram and TikTok, like with diagrams and like real stuff that's like, you actually came from here. And then connecting all the dots where it usually would have taken like a full semester just to like travel 100 years in any direction, which was mostly a lie every single time when we're in school. But now it's like professors and people that are passionate about storytelling and uncovering our history are just sharing it on these platforms. And it's like, yo, like, this is great. Like I am starting to believe that there are alternative routes, and I wasn't crazy that these things didn't resonate with me like throughout grade school. And I can become an entrepreneur in my own right, because there's a million examples. Like Dame Dash is somebody who I like herald as like God entrepreneur. I'm just like, he's saying all the things that I've thought but didn't have the conviction. So to see somebody else kind of lay the groundwork for me, and even though it takes some time to kind of like follow through with a lot of the things, it's like nevertheless there's an example. So growing up or even now, who are some of the people that you kind of look to as motivation or inspiration within your art or just like your personal life?
First and foremost, everything that you said, love it.
I'm getting good at this. This is off the top, too. This is off the top.
I'm like, I'm on TikTok like a mug. I'm like, okay, what am I going to learn today?
Yeah.
But honestly, a lot of the people in our community, like I just went to Christine Miller's show.
Yep, amazing. Shout out to Christine. Multiply.
Yes, so good. Sarah Sabino went to her show. Amazing.
That was at the Portland Art Museum. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to that too.
Yep. Julia Bond just checked out her stuff.
I went to her show too. What
yeah,
up?
Yeah. No, gang, like gang. People in our community are doing some wild stuff. And like even Anthony, like I think I've had like maybe like 2 or 3 conversations with him. I don't even know if he remembers who I am, but
he does.
Okay, sure, dope. Sure. But even just talking to him and seeing like how he's done this art direction thing is like super inspiring. Maybe on a larger scale, like Ava DuVernay, like amazing, like Pharrell, amazing. I love that he has his hand in so many things and is excelling at all of them. But yeah, honestly, I look to so many people who are right around us and like just being amazing examples of what you can do when you put your mind to it. And like more specifically for me, like working in corporate, how do you balance that with your own personal convictions? Yeah, so honestly, I look a lot to the people around me, like my partner too. Like she's in public health and just like educating me more about how our systems actually, I was gonna say work, but don't work at all. I try to surround myself with some really good folk, and they're always super inspirational. You yourself doing your own thing, like
trying. No, I agree too. Like we're surrounded by so many geniuses, I looked at everybody like we are all in like New York City, like at the top pinnacle level, because it's like there's no difference. Like people equate like, oh yeah, like depending on what city you're in, like the impact, this and that. It's like, I don't care if nobody shows up to like anything that I'm doing or any of my friend shows or whatever. It's like, no, like we got it. Like I realized like the impact and the power behind Julia's show, behind Christine's show. I'm just like, yo, like this is like some like next level, like revolution, like leadership type stuff, like leading the way, kicking the door down, storming the castle, and taking names, like,
for real,
like and I want to be there to like support my friends that are doing that, because like it takes bravery to like stand up and do that. And like I'm just like, I'm here, like whatever you need, like like I already know the value of it. Like it may take like the rest of society, like however many decades or whatever, and we're not gonna coddle them along this way. Like y'all will get here whenever you fucking want to.
Exactly.
But we're gonna keep moving and moving forward and helping each other like knock some more doors down. But it's just great to be surrounded by and like in the proximity and closeness of Portland, because it's just like I can just like knock on Anthony's door and just like say what up to the dog and just like kick it and and like learn and grow and like see what he's working on. And so like the Portland like open door policy, once you're like kind of like in like the know, like is unmatched. And I just hope that everybody gets the credit that we all deserve, gets like millions and millions of dollars that we all deserve. Like,
no, for
like,
real.
That's where it is. Like where we're able to like give all of ourselves to it. Cause I don't want anyone to feel like we have to like only show up as part of ourselves because we don't have the time to do the things that we want to do. It's like, once you declare that you have like a passion for something and it's like, I'm not going to stop until this thing, like until I can live this type of way, then I feel like that's where community comes in to like put air in the sails and make sure 100%. That it stays up. It's like you better not let me stop teaching meditation and doing my podcast. If I do, it's a fucking travesty. It's 100%. A waste. It's a waste of a life. If I'm like, you know what? Yeah, it's just, like things just aren't going the way that I thought it would. I think I'm going to go work at Costco. I'm like, you should slap me in the face.
Never.
Like if I don't believe in myself, and I think that's like the power of community is to kind of keep the motivation, keep the flame lit. Like when somebody's kind of like feeling like unsure and
1,000%.
Yeah. It's just like, that's where like reinforcement comes in because it's a lonely mission when you
100%.
Are like when you're out here trying to make this thing work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, 100%. I agree completely. Like, and I've really understood the value of that community since we've been in so much lacking of it lately. I don't think I ever completely took it for granted, but like I really, really, the meaning was just so much more solidified. I'm like, okay, I'm going to show up to every show I can, even if I'm tired. You know, I'm just, even if I just say hi and bye, like I'm going to go check in on folks. I'm going to, you know, blast people. Like, you're right. Like, I love what you just said. And like, community is like the wind in your sails. Cause that's just like a perfect metaphor for what people can do in your life. They can propel you to heights you didn't even know were feasible.
Yeah. I think like allowing, like as like a person who's like a self-starter, like allowing them to show up for you.
Yes.
Because it's like,
yes.
Like oftentimes I'm sure you have felt like this before, but it's like you feel like you're a burden on somebody else. It's like, oh, I don't want to take your time, and like, sorry, I'm in the way, like
all the time.
But it's like, but it's up to for us to like know, like just by the way that we're received, it's like no, like they want us to call for help.
Yes,
like our friends like want you to be like, yo, like anything, like you need to get picked up from the airport, or you need me to run over here and like do this for you or whatever. It's like they're waiting, and I'm starting to finally understand that like I do have friends that are waiting to help me, and should I ask, and I need to be brave, and I'm able to be vulnerable or at least create space for other people. But at the same time, it's like I need to allow other people to allow me to land in their in the space that they've accommodated for me.
Yeah,
like
they laid the
blanket. Yeah, they laid the blanket down and the pillow and set things up and put the lights down. And you're
and
like,
you walk
you're
right
like,
by.
And then, yeah, you walk by and you're like, oh, I'm gonna sleep on the floor. And I'm just like, I just made this fucking bed for you, and you're just gonna. And it's a self worth thing, and it's like a complex that we have to meet ourselves to be like, you know what, like I'm gonna allow this to happen, and I appreciate it. So.
No, that's a lot of the learning I've been doing this year as well. It's like, because there's been times when I just like crumbled because I didn't allow anyone to help me or anything like that. And it's, you know, there's certain times you're going to fall and you need to fall, right, to learn a lesson. But like you were saying, there's certain times where you're like, you just should have called out to someone, or you just should have like, you know, sent that text, you know. So I am on that same journey.
Yeah, yeah. So what are some things that you like doing, like outside of like the art space, the workspace, and all that? Like, what are some of the things that are keeping your attention or that you want to go do?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely want to get back to traveling. I used to travel all the time, and I really miss it. Because I think that's just like, that just opens your eyes to so many different ways of being and knowing that you didn't even think were possible. I try to go to the gym as often as possible. I feel like that just keeps me sane. And I feel like also just like working at these sports companies, you kind of like drink the Kool-Aid a little bit there. But it does like, it just helps holistically with like your brain, keeping yourself settled, your emotions, everything. I found a dog earlier this year. me and my partner found a dog, so she's been keeping us busy.
Oh, so you have, like, you have, like, you didn't take it to the pound or anything?
Well, we did, and but then, so long story short, we found this dog in the woods near Rocky Butte, like, right before Christmas. So we basically had to hold on to her until we could take her back to the shelter because they weren't open. No chip, no nothing. And they were like, yeah, we could take her, but, like, she'll just be lost in the system, and it was a kill shelter. So we're like, well, we'll hold on to her. We can foster her until somebody claims her, because she was obviously a pet. That was 8 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got a dog now.
Yeah, so I got a dog now. So yeah, she's been keeping me busy because I've never had a dog before.
Yeah, what kind of dog?
She's like a little dachshund, like chihuahua mix. Like,
oh, yeah, that's not too much, though. It's like, it's not too much, and I'm sure she has a personality on her.
Oh, she thinks she's like a pit bull.
Yeah, yeah, that's so cute. Well, welcome to dog ownership. Yep. How old do you know how old she is?
The vet says she's a...
Okay, oh, puppy. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so she's been keeping me busy. Lots of dog trips and playing around with
Do you feel
that.
Like you're a dog person?
I think it made me a lot more of a dog
person.
Yeah,
it softened you up a little bit.
Yeah, like I always liked dog, but I wasn't like going to go say hi to every dog on the street, right? I'm like, oh, that's cute, but I'm going to keep on with my day. Now I am that like annoying dog person.
Oh,
that
can
would
I
be
say
like,
hi?
Yeah, like, can I say hi? Or like, this is what my dog is doing. I'm like, oh God, what have I become?
Want to see a picture?
Yeah, I'm like, oh geez.
That's so funny. So where do you feel like you're gonna travel next? You said you like traveling.
Yeah, I
mean, got a list.
I want to go everywhere. For vacation, probably like Mexico or Bali. Like, I definitely need to just like sit on a beach and like not worry about anything. For like the experience, probably Seoul. I've been to Seoul before, but I'd love to go back. I'd love to bring my partner there. I think it'd be sick. I haven't been to London yet. I'd love to go to London. I love to go to like Prague. I love to go to honestly almost any country.
Yeah,
I don't really want to go to like Russia or anything like that.
Yeah,
but
I would still go, but just like,
I don't even know if I would go.
I don't feel like I would be like welcomed.
Yeah, I'm like, maybe at a different point in time.
Sure.
But right now, I don't know about that. But yeah, I'm down to kind of pretty much go anywhere.
Seoul sounds fun. Like, I watch like food shows all the time. Like, that's just kind of like, that's my guilty pleasure.
Yeah.
See, I'm not perfect, everybody. Like, I'm talking about health and stuff. I'm just like, oh yeah, intermittent fasting and blah, 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 and all this like health shit. But then it's like, at night, like late at night, I'll just pull on like this like food show on like YouTube and stuff where like people have like their vlogs.
Okay, you're
and
saying
stuff.
You're not perfect, but you are watching food show. You're not eating the food. You're still
on
that.
I would eat
that.
It in a second. Like, I'm dreaming about, I'm salivating as I'm watching this, but like Korea, like they make really like good looking food. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's just like they have like
it's
these
the
fried
attention
chickens
to like detail.
The details, yes, it's ugh. Like a it's like a streamlined process, yeah, where like every single thing is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they take every single step. Like, I feel like in America it's kind of like the archetype of like the stoner that works at the burger joint that just like forgets things,
yeah,
and just drops hair on stuff. Like, no, like the opposite of that. It's like, mm-hmm, a factory line, but with a person that's actually attentively rolling out each burger,
yep,
putting it in, like, it's perfect. But they do this thing where they're just like just fry whole chickens and then like chop it up and then put it in a bag and just like hand it off. I'm like, yo, what do I would do to be there right now just to like eat food all day?
That's one of the, so I went to Seoul with my best friend Albert that I was telling you about earlier. Him and his partner are thinking about moving there for like a month. So I'm like, perfect. But the fried chicken is one of the main things I miss. It was so good and so cheap. And oof, man.
Yeah, Korean fried chicken. There's the H Mart is over there. I don't really like theirs. It's just like, whatever. You're like, you gotta be.
Wasn't there like bigger?
Like a fried chicken spot?
No. It's like a bigger H Mart with like more options and stuff.
Oh, like 99 or SF Market or something. There's I don't know. Like, we can go down this road. We can go down this road.
The Chinese markets around here are dope though. Like, when you find a good one. But H Mart is kind of on the edge.
Yeah, most definitely. What else you want to talk about?
Now
that I'm distracted. Now that I'm distracted and thinking about food.
Just thinking about food.
It's very difficult for me to get off of food like once I once I like lock on, I'm just like, all right, system, destination, destination set.
Destination stomach. Yeah. I realize I said Chinese markets and it's just a big Asian market. I don't know if that's insensitive or not, but.
I think you're good. You get the pass.
What should we talk about? I don't know. Whatever. What kind of like, I hate like the term self-help because it doesn't actually address what's causing us to need the self-help.
Mm.
But like I was telling you before, I've been going to therapy a lot, trying to do some like deeper work. Have you been kind of on that journey too?
I've been on that, but I haven't done therapy though. Like I think I can benefit a lot from therapy. But yeah, I just haven't had the opportunity to go, but I feel like that's just like my main modality is just like, how can I take care of myself? Because nobody else is going to do it in times of uncertainty, which is all times now. It's just how am I going to get back into practice? Because it's like whenever I feel like there's this like this hidden like competitive nature within Americans where it's like if you don't do it perfect, you're not even hidden.
It's just like,
hey, yeah. I'm going to meditate for like 2 days. And then the fact that I missed the third day, I'm just not going to do it for 2 years.
Yeah.
And we just like internalize this, like we can't even approach it. So what I've done, at least what I've recognized is that like, I'm always willing to start again, no matter what. Like this last weekend, I went out 3 nights in a row, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, stayed out till like midnight. And I never do that. So Monday morning comes around and I was freaking beat. I was just like, yo, I am so fucking tired. And like I miss going to the gym. Like I smoked a cigarette that I like rolled at a friend's house and I brought home. So I was like, all right, like morning cigarette. And I was like, oh, you fucking scumbag. But not having the judgment around it. And then like there was a point in the day where like I like edited a podcast and then I was just like, you know what? I'm so tired. I'm just going to take a nap right now. So I took a 3 hour nap.
You needed it.
Yeah, I took the 3 hour nap on Monday, in the middle of the day on Monday. But it's just like knowing what I needed and not needing to make an excuse or feel bad about it. It's like, yo, I know what's best for me, and being unapologetic like to that highest expression. It's like, yo, I know how to get where I need to be right now, and it was exactly what I needed. And then, like last night, or actually. Okay, so that Monday was 2 nights ago. So today, like, I woke up hella early because I was rested yesterday.
Nice.
And, like, I was right back onto my schedule. Like, nothing happened. It's not like the weekend has, like, a lasting effect to where it's going to kick off for, like, the next, like, 3 months. And now I'm like, oh, I don't know where things went. It was just like, no, I was able to have fun. I did my thing. Felt a little like a little off on Monday, but Tuesday I'm back in, and then tonight I'm gonna go to bed early, and I'm going to the gym early, and we're right back on, and just allowing ourselves to start and get back into the flow, like at any point is something that's helped over time. How is like therapy worked for you?
Oh, it's been working wonders. I think I would have lost my mind these past 2 years if I wasn't in it, because not only. So all my family's on the East Coast. So not only am I very far from them, I started a new relationship, and we were starting to have some like very fundamental familial disagreements. And I'm not used to, I'm pretty close with my parents as well. And so I'm not used to us having these like we disagree about little things, right? But I'm not used to it being like a very foundational sort of like almost relationship changing disagreement. And I think that just also comes as we're getting older, we're becoming adults, we get to like buck back a little bit, you know, with our parents and like examine, you know, the way they do things and not just, you know, be the child, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So therapy has been very instrumental in helping me realize like the causes of certain habits, the causes of certain ways of communicating or not communicating. That's a big one for me. I'm very much have a tendency to just be like, if there's a problem, I'll be like, okay, and walk away, which is not always, which sometimes works, but a lot of the time is not the way to solve the problem, or any of the time that isn't the way to solve the problem, especially when it's your family. You can't just like peace out, or I don't want to just peace out. So it's been great. My therapist's name is Miriam. She's OG. And yeah, it's just been, even just having an ear that's not in the situation with you, that's just kind of like a third party, has been super helpful to get some like a bird's eye view on the things that are happening in your life and be able to break it down kind of like systematically. Because that's hard, at least for me, it's hard to do that on my own when I'm like in the thick of it.
Yeah, it's very suffocating when you don't have any like space in between you and the contents of experience. It's
just
oh shit, like back up.
Like this just seems like just like insurmountable. Like it's suffocating me. I'm just gonna like take a stress nap and figure it out later.
Yeah, I feel the same way too though. It's as far as just like communicating and initiating like the conversation about something. It's like, oh, I got something on my mind, but I'm just going to hold on to it until like you say something or get mad or something. It's just like, why don't you just like nip it in the butt? But I think it comes down to like trust too, because it's like you're feeling something, but it's like, do I trust what I'm feeling right now? Mm-hmm. And is it worth it to bring it up right now to shake up this ship that we have going right now? Mm-hmm. I think just trusting like what the intuition is and like the sensations of, because it's like you haven't said it before, and it's just being experienced as emotion and sensations in the body. But yeah, it's like, can I trust this to say it right now? And what's going to happen? What are the repercussions if I speak my truth right now?
Yes.
And I think that fear of like, oh shit, but I don't want to like them to be mad at me and all that kind of stuff kind of comes up. What are some of the things like outside of therapy that you've kind of identified as happy making for you, or at least that can get you back to like a baseline, like calmness?
Yeah. I mean, exercise is a big one for sure. Cause another thing that therapy helped me realize, is just how much physical impact your emotions have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, that's been even more heightened as these past 2 years have been wild. So exercise, definitely outside of therapy. Honestly, I feel like this little dog was like sent to me because she just ran out the woods in front of us from nowhere. And honestly, having her has been a really grounding experience, because if I'm having like a day where I feel like I'm just like I'm in a rut, like I don't want to get out of bed, like I don't want to talk to anyone, you know, she'll like jump on the bed and like be like, hey, like, let's go play, or hey, like, I really need you to get up because I got to go to the bathroom. Like, you need to go out and get into the sun, or, you know, you kind of have to exercise to take the dog on a walk. So, honestly, this little dog has been a super big help, and I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah, no, dogs like add so much to life. Like my dog like landed on my doorstep too. And like, I didn't even want a dog. I wasn't even looking to get a dog. And then like 8 years later, I still had him, and then he passed away. But it's like, but like to feel what it's like now without him there, I'm like, oh my God, like he was everything, absolutely everything. So I'm happy for you to have like that experience though, because it's like, if we don't seek it, you don't know what you're missing. But then like the fact that it's like you come home and it's like, oh, like there's a buffer between you and like the ground, essentially. If things are tough, it's like, that's the thing. It's like, I never reached like a rock bottom because he was always there to catch me.
Yeah. And they don't even know it, the little dum-dums.
No, they don't. They don't at all.
They're just like so, I think dogs, they also like remind you to be more in the moment and like be like, okay, like this is life. Gotta go eat, gotta breathe, gotta do your thing. Like you said, they do kind of just catch you by being their little crazy selves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just so like simple. It just like, it just reminds you of just like, oh yeah, like I'm here.
Yeah.
You know? Word. Was there anything else you'd like to share with our beautiful listeners?
Hi, beautiful listeners.
Or like, oh, you're here?
Hi.
Oh, someone's listening?
Ooh, you look gorgeous today. Honestly, that's about it. I mean, if I'm always down to have a conversation, so if you want to talk again, hit me up. Or if any of the listeners feel like checking me out on my Instagram or just sending me an email, if you want to collab on something, feel free.
Awesome. Well, on that note, where can people find you on the interwebs?
Yes. On the interwebs, you can find me on Instagram at You Can Call Me Bernie, all spelled out. And then my website is youcancallmebernie.com. And that's pretty much where I am these days. Not doing a whole lot of social media, but I'm still on there checking things and seeing what's up.
Dope. Well, thank you, Bernadette. And thank you all for listening to Opening Presence.